welcome back. Hour number two, and we get to talk to Professor Emeritus, Dr. Eric Carlstrom, about the mass carnage being done to Americans' brains. No, not through the COVID death vax. No, not through the toxins in the food. No, not through regular EMF from our various appliances. Intentional interference in the human mind. We are all test subjects. We are unaware of it, and they have ruined an awful lot of people. I have no doubt about that, never will, thanks to the work of Eric Carlstrom, who is, in my view, probably, arguably, the world's number one on our side of the fence expert on mind control, targeted individuals, and all the rest of it. You can go back to MKUltra, Monarch, and those horrible things where they would just fragment a little child into 100 pieces or more, and then they would put them back together and make them respond appropriately to their benchmarks. That's all nuts. Hello, Eric. Welcome back.
Greetings, Jeff. Yeah, thanks for that that glowing intro. I'm not sure I'm the expert on this. I'm a former physical geography professor who, on retirement, got very interested in this and has written a lot about it and read a lot about it. I think it is perhaps one of the greatest and most important topics that Americans and other people in the world need to rapidly try to wrap their minds around, so to speak, as much as possible, because I think education may be the primary defense, at least to understand the magnitude of the assaults that have been waged against us historically, and that are going to be deployed and are being deployed.
They're not going to slow down any.
They've got enormous, amazing. The military considers mind control to be a quote unquote non-lethal weapon, but many people who write about it, who I think are whose work I've studied, and so I consider them to be the experts. They say this is more dangerous than nuclear weapons, and this has been a 70-year project at least, more certainly over a century, and a massive cover-up. On the part of governments and media and even academics, the exotic weapons, the directed energy weapons, the millimeter wave and the high-powered microwave and the lasers and the sonic weapons are starting, to be kind of rolled out. Now we see this with the quote-unquote ghost murmur over in the Iran war in April, and we see this with the quote-unquote discombobulator that was apparently used in the Maduro capture in January of this year. These are weapons that have been...
The Maduro kidnapping. Yes.
Yeah, the Maduro kidnapping. It killed, I think, some 47 Venezuelan soldiers and 32 Cuban soldiers.
That's what I hear. Yep.
Yeah. So this was, they use all of these military escapades as an opportunity to test the exotic weapons that they've been, deploying. And it's my point, Jeff, that it is the Americans, civilians, targeted individuals, and worldwide targeted individuals who have been the non-consensual experimentees over the past 70-plus years to develop these weapons, and that there are millions. And these are being deployed against individuals who are, considered enemies of the state, blacklisted, under various names, potential terrorist threat, et cetera, and get on the Department of Homeland Security's terrorist screening database with no knowledge of their of being put on it very secretly and not allowed to confront their accusers, not even allowed to know they're on the list, and then put in these programs for the duration of their lives, to destroy them. So there's a massive, one of the many massive crimes and even genocides going on in the world, I think, is due to these electronic weapons, these secret mind control weapons. You sent me a very interesting link today about a new book by Patricia Bray that came out in March of this year called Mind Control Slavery. And it's on Kindle. If you don't mind, I'll just read this little description. I haven't had a chance to read the book. Yeah, Exposing the Hidden Hand, Creating Mind Control Slaves in the United States, and How They Create These Mind Control Puppets. They are used to compromise politicians, spy on foreign nations, transport and deliver drugs for snuff pornography and child pornography, and, of course, in all kinds of murder operations and false flag operations, you know, including going back to JFK and RFK and MLK, et cetera, and murder foreign politicians, diplomats, who do not kowtow to the black nobility British Empire. Okay, that's an interesting wrinkle. I think there is a real centrality of that. Taken from an actual insider's account of being tortured to the point his mind fractured at the age of 12 to 13. Of course, this is the identical story of Paul Bonacci, who was featured in, you know, who was a monarch mind-controlled slave, who was testifying in the...
Well, we played some of that last time.
Yes.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, you know, and I just should read the what we played last time. It was an interesting title. The video we played was called Project Monarch, Governmental Mind Control Program, the point of the CIA's Project MK Ultra, and Paul Bonacci was a very, very intelligent but obviously mind-controlled person whose mind had been fragmented into, he said, 120-some pieces by military. It's a military operational deployment of the MK Ultra mind control experiments. He was created, he said, at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And he was quizzed by the Nebraska Attorney General in this video, and he revealed a lot of very, very interesting information. Now, the backstory on that, I just wanted to try to get in because we didn't have time last time, is that this Franklin cover-up, and that's the book by Senator John DeCamp of Nebraska, The Franklin Cover-Up, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska, came out first in 1992. This book by John DeCamp, the senator and a Vietnam veteran, describes, you know, it's got all the paperwork in there, and he worked with Ted Gunderson to expose this. As it turned out, Paul Bonacci was one of a number of child sex slaves who were prostituted out to very powerful business and political leaders, and even brought to the White House on many occasions during the Bush and Reagan years, the Reagan Bush years. And it shows the incredible corruption, actually, of the American system.
Are you being too
going
kind?
Back a long time.
It's incredible satanic perversion, is what it is. These people are sick, beyond sick.
Well, but, yeah, the word satanic is you know, people are going to recoil to the word, but in fact, they use satanic ritual abuse in the creation, trauma-based mind control, in the creation of these bio-robot slaves like Bonacci, these are procedures that have gone back, you know, not only generations, even thousands of years, they say, back to the Egyptians. But this is a way that the Illuminati and other very powerful people would actually program their own children. So Satanism, unfortunately, it needs to be acknowledged, is a major religion in the United States and the world. It's certainly infected our military and intelligence operations because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So let's wake up to this and decide if we really want to be guided by people who use satanic ritual abuse to destroy children. You know, and of course, part of the trauma base is raping of children, pedophilia. So pedophilia goes along. We're ruled by pedophiles and psychopaths, and with these kinds of programs, and of course, according to the book, even in the 90s, about 100,000 children went missing every year that the FBI did not even record or track. They track everything else, but they don't track that. So we have a problem. And then, of course, with these major events like under the Biden administration, all these illegals coming in, they are estimated 300,000 to 400,000 children went missing. Well, what happened to these children? Well, sex slavery, use in this kind of program, body parts, organs stealing, all kinds of things. We in this country need to wake up to what our leaders have pressed upon us and are pressing upon us here. We have to decide, do we go along with this? Do we go along with, you know, systematic use of satanic ritual abuse to create mind-controlled slaves in our military and intelligence units? I mean, I say no. I say, you know, hang the bastards is what I say. But, you know, it's not going to be that simple because these people have a lot of power and a lot of, I'm sure, politicians and military people and entertainment people and athletes, et cetera, are indeed products of this kind of trauma-based mind control, which allows them to be controlled by their handlers and their programmers with codes, access codes, cues, and triggers, and in turn, you know, become a mind-controlled slave. And this is, I think, one of the saddest stories in our modern world, and perhaps one of the major crimes of our century in the last. And you know, it's right up there with child sex slavery and every other crime you can imagine, black ops, etc. These are black ops. And the targeted individual program, likewise, is also, you know, human trafficking and trying for the same thing, trying to apply the monarch system to people who are considered political enemies in the wild. That is to say, try to fragment the mind through torture and trauma-based tortures with electromagnetic frequencies. And I would guess there's many, many, many millions of targeted individuals now around the world who are struggling to survive. Many, I'm sure, have taken their lives.
They've never been able to put themselves back together and don't have anyone to help them even try. And they live lives of quiet desperation, constant misery, complete confusion, constantly shifting from one, well, what would you call it, emotional stance to another. They're very unstable people. And then God help them if they happen to get the COVID virus, because that's clearly involved with personality change and brain dysfunction now. So they're going to be hit with a double curse. Anyway, it's very sad. And there are a lot of people you'll meet in life who are a mess. And you'll never know it necessarily, but they're living lives of hell. It's not a joke. If you can remember where we stopped with Bonacci, I could play some more of that if you want. I've got it around 38 minutes we stopped, but I'm not sure. But anyway, that's your call. You're the guest.
Yeah, okay. Well, that might be good. Like I said, there are two corroborating videos in which the ex-FBI special agent Ted Gunderson, who turned out to be the real hero, exposing all this stuff, is interviewing Bonacci. Two-hour interviews. One in which Bonacci, who says he had been working with a Christian minister to kind of reintegrate those 120 personalities, which is possible with the proper care.
Yeah.
And
think
if, you
of
know,
them.
The,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, okay, it is possible to reintegrate. And this very, very intelligent young man who remembers now some of the altars would be like they would insert demons or animal spirits or, you know, and they would all have personalities and subpersonality or altars with amnesia barriers in between. These altar personalities could be ordered to do, a certain job for the government, and then the handler could shift them back out of that so that they would not remember what they did. Perfect for, you know, political assassins, such as we've recently seen, I think, with the Butler, Pennsylvania thing and the Charlie Kirk assassination. I think we have a system. I think it is actually the Franklin cover-up book by DeCamp actually calls this the CIA's family jewels. That's pretty ugly, isn't it? The family jewels are they can take a personality and turn them into a biorobot slave or a mind-controlled slave and then use them for all kinds of things like drug running and spying and compromising politicians and, you know, sexually, just like the Epstein files, and use them as couriers, use them as spies to enhance their abilities, such as memory, so they have photographic memory, so they can go read something once and remember it and deliver it back to their military or CIA handlers. This story now was officially ruled to be false. They had a grand jury associated with this Franklin Credit Union scandal that found Paul Bennacchi and the other very strong-willed, mind-controlled slave, a woman named Alicia Owen, found them guilty of perjury. So the official result was that nothing to see here, folks, just move along, you know. But then DeCamp has written this book, The Franklin Cover-Up, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska. And the story here is identical, pretty much, I think, to what we get from Fiona Barnett down under in Australia. And she's written a huge book called Eyes Wide Open, in which she describes the same system. So MKUltra projects, which are top secret in America, also were outsourced to various other countries, especially Five Eyes countries like Canada and Australia. And she describes it all. And this woman, I think, has an IQ of something like 160. So, there's a lot of challenging material there. And then she went on to reintegrate and study psychology. So she can speak their language. She names the names of the CIA people involved. Many of the top CIA sub-project managers went to Australia and worked down there. So the story of Satanism, trauma-based mind control, corruption at the highest levels of our universities and military and governments are identical in Australia and Canada and the United States, and I'm sure Britain as well. The Five Eyes country, certainly. This is a huge story, and it has been successfully, more or less successfully covered up. But I think the truth is leaking out, and people need to engage with it and, you know, wake up and, you know, drink the coffee and smell the coffee and realize that we're all in danger of these invasive electronic means of behavioral and mind control.
Well said and true. When we mention that someone has over 100 personalities, that's not to suggest there are over 100 full and complete cradle-to-grave personalities in there. These are fragments that step into stage front, and then they step back. They step up, they step back. It's like an automatic transmission with 100 different speeds, and there are variations on emotional, intellectual, and all kinds and all manner of different personality traits and profiles. It's a mess, and you never know which one you're going to run into, and boy, it's not an easy situation. I can't even imagine it.
It's phenomenal. It goes beyond what most people can even imagine, and yet it is. These black projects have been going on for a long time at the highest levels of our military and intelligence agencies. The contempt with which they regard these you know, precious children that are often kidnapped, like
contempt?
In the Finders. Is phenomenal. The disregard for the sanctity of human life. I mean, that most of us kind of grew up with in this country, you know. Somehow this totalitarian worldview has been imposed on us from the top down, which is totally anti-American, totally anti-American. You know, I say line these people up and shoot them. You know, this is treason at the highest level, and that, of course, is why it has been so secret. But of course, you can understand the appeal, I guess, to intelligence agencies such as MI6, CIA, and Mossad to have human robots as spies that they can control, use as assassins and couriers, drug couriers, and sex slaves. It's. I think it's the most horrible thing that I'm aware of. You know, and that's why. That's why I'm on it, you know. That's why we all need to, you know, I think, come to grips with this and expose it to and understand it, certainly to the best of our abilities. And then, you know, one way to do that is to look at the history, because the documents, many of the documents are still classified, but many have been declassified. There's been an enormous cover-up, but the 1952 CIA memo regarding Operation Bluebird, which was prior to MKUltra, said the aim is controlling an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will and even against such fundamental laws of human nature as self-preservation. In other words, set up a master-slave situation, and the CIA gets to be the master, or their psychiatrists, like we talked about Dr. Louis Jolyon West and Dr. Jose Delgado, the Spanish professor of physiology and director of neuropsychiatry at Yale Medical School. These people were highly supported by the CIA MKUltra. And he said in a 1974 testimony before Congress, he said, of course, he's not an American. This is a Spanish guy. The individual may think that the most important reality is his own existence, but this is only his personal point of view. This lacks historical perspective. Man does not have the right to develop his own mind. This kind of liberal orientation has great appeal, but we must electronically control the brain. Someday armies and generals will be controlled by electric stimulation of the brain. So he was the inventor of the Stimoceiver, which is, you know, basic biosensor implant to the brain, and he did all kinds of experiments on monkeys and humans in which he was able to control not only their behavior, but the movement of their limbs and their moods. And this is going back to the 60s with the MKUltra. These totalitarian scientists who were never elected to anything have had such an undue effect on our society. But this information that we've talked about it, and it's out. The great movie, The Minds of Men, or documentary, came out, I think, in 2019 or 2018. And this was Aaron and Melissa Dykes, The Minds of Men. You can check it out online, anybody, the viewers or the listeners. And I wrote an article in 2012, Mind Control History and Applications, in which I basically did a review of the literature that I could find on this topic, reviewing about 50 books, which is how academics operate. You know, you do a literature review. And it's all there. I mean, in 1969, during the Vietnam War, the General Westmoreland said all future wars will be fought on the electronic battlefield. So these new stories about the discombobulator, oh, a secret weapon, and the ghost murmur, oh, a secret weapon. This stuff has been tested out and tested out and tested out and tested out for many decades. So again, use the discretion on believing what anything in the media says about this stuff.
Just trying to imagine these poor children, 4 and 5 years of age, destroyed, fragmented, controlled for most of their lives. Some of them are just, when they outlive their or outlast their usefulness, just cut loose and turned loose. No longer directly controlled, and they got all these incredibly disparate pieces that can instantly flop into full view and then vanish. And another person, another personality, another aspect of the personality will take over, will show. You'll be interacting with one, a moment later, another. You don't know what, and the person can be a guy, gal, doesn't matter, can be highly volatile. They won't understand what's happening. There's no accountability. How can you have accountability when inside yourself are over 100 different variants of what purports to be a stable personality? You can't. It can't work.
Well, it's very scientific, and if that was the point of MK Ultra, was to get the very, very top scientists in the world on this problem of controlling human mind. No wonder it was top secret. I mean, this is evil as I think evil as you can get. Like you say, I mean, you take these precious children who are, you know, God's children, and Jesus makes it quite clear: you're not supposed to mess with God's children, and you know. Woe to those who do. It would be better for them if a millstone were hanging around their neck and they were, you know, in other words, jumped in the ocean. In other words, God's going to come down pretty hard on these people. They don't seem to be worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say these are Satanists. I would say the scientists themselves are Satanists. And as a society, like Fauci. Yeah, this is our modern Joseph Mengele here. He's a complete liar, complete fraud, and posing as, you know, America's top medical doctor, you know, trying to help.
I think he's worse.
Look what he did.
I'll tell you why. I think he's killed millions of people already and will end up killing millions more by pushing and being the front man for what he knew was a deadly cocktail of spike protein, mRNA, and the rest of it, things we don't even know about. In each injection, 400 billion competent DNA fragments that can integrate into our DNA and take up permanent residence there. 400 billion per injection. We don't even know what those fragments are for. But they're all
we don't know if our neighbors are actually Homo sapiens anymore. I mean, you start messing with the DNA, may have a new species. And of course, there's a lot of evidence. I think that there's also self-assembling nanotech in there, and there's also graphene and these things.
You can't rule
anything
out.
Yeah, these things are excellent for
right.
So that now with self-assembling nanotech hit with the directed energy radio frequencies, they can cross the blood-brain barrier and they can make very, very mm-hmm. tiny equivalents of the Delgado mm-hmm. Stemocever, which is the brain link computer mm-hmm. chip in the brain that... that Elon Musk and BlackRock are pushing, among others, now to psycho-civilize, that's Delgado's word, our entire planet. So I think our very humanity is at stake here. I have to just read a couple titles of a good book. I'm always getting books on this, Jeff, and I just got this one in the mail yesterday. This is by
No, go ahead. I'm here.
Yeah, Felipe Saboia de Santa Cruz Abreu from Brazil, who is an expert in computer technology, who wrote in 2019, MK Tech, Mind Control Tech, Invasion and Mind Control, the technology of invasion, control, reading, and torture of the mind that will change humanity forever. And I haven't had a chance to read this yet either, but I'm kind of working on that, and that's on my list of things to get to. I mean, this stuff is being decoded by our, civilian population who are saying this is bad news, something we need to pay attention to, you know.
And we both know, and many of you listening understand, that the mass of the populace will never understand any of this. Not only can't they readily access the information, but if they do, their friends will shun them. And that'll take care of 95% of any inquiry. When you're shut out by your peers, your friends, your clique, your group, you stop. Most people do. They live for acceptance of their friends, and they live for social issues. Now, that said, it is changing. And I say that with the knowledge of the story I just read, that the majority of Gen Z is no longer dating on the weekends. They stay home in their pajamas and play with their phones. They're not even dating. We're looking at not only COVID-19 mass sterilization of both sexes, but we're looking at a whole addictive lifestyle where people no longer have a yin or a yearning to socialize. They don't. It's being borne out by the behavior of Gen Z. So this species is damn near in free fall by design.
Yes, yeah, you know, and of course, I think we are up against Satan, and we're looking at many different avenues of attack.
Right. Yeah,
yeah, it's an energy, it's a force, it's an intelligence that seems to be able to co-opt and possess human minds. And I would say, not only do we have the old-fashioned spiritual possession, which we read about in the Bible, you know, of Satan, of individuals, but we also have a psychic possession and technological possession now, which is what we're talking about, really, with these non-lethal weapons, mind control, etc. We're dealing with, again, electronic warfare, directed energy weapons, high-powered microwave, millimeter wave, laser, sonic weapons, like NeuroStrike, for instance, that can, you know, kill you. Actually, they're not only non-lethal, they're lethal, that are deployed not only against, you know, the official enemies in warfare. They're deployed against civilians in our own countries, and I would suggest, Jeff, based on my experience and my reading, that one of the chief enemies, if not the chief enemy of the United States government, the captured, the Zionist-occupied U.S. government, is the American people. Hence, all of these black operations against us. You know, you look at the 60s, I look at the 60s in which I grew up, the Vietnam War era, the assassination of Kennedy and King, the all the riots in the street. This was a time in which these mind control weapons were being rolled out en masse. It was government people that were distributing acid, for instance, LSD, to the youth, which was me back in those days, and my friends. And so we're being asked to fight this ridiculous war in Vietnam, which, you know, most honest soldiers later on admitted was a tremendous mistake and damaging to our own country as well as, of course, to them. But we were waging war against the American people, specifically the counterculture, which the CIA created, along with MI6, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I think in order to discredit the criticisms of the Vietnam War, which we were definitely criticizing the Vietnam War. Our friends were coming home in body bags, our family, etc. And it was senseless, and we lost 58,000 Americans and killed 2 or 3 million Vietnamese, Laotians, and Cambodians in what seemed like a senseless war, which we eventually lost. But they were also testing these mind control weapons against us here and using these mind control weapons in Vietnam. So much of what's been going on under the surface is a platform for testing these mind control technologies and covert ops. And this to me requires a reexamination of my life and our history post World War II. We need to understand the incredible influence of on our society and harmful influence of these technologies and these people, because they are ultimately coming back to people who I believe are possessed, but then they have ways to possess others, such as fragmenting the minds of children through rape and trauma-based mind control and MK-Ultra scientific processes, you know, and use of the stimulus and drugs and hypnosis and all kinds of Luciferian, ritual, satanic, ritualistic, sexual abuse, animal and human sacrifices. This is going on at a whole host of our military bases. It's going on at, you know, in Australia. It was going on at the universities as well as the military bases. It's time to, you know, do the laundry here. It's time to you know, get the dirt out. It's time to take our lives back, our countries back. And I understand your point about the youngsters. I don't know what's, of course, none of us really knows what the future holds, but I listen to some and they sound like we did during the Vietnam War. You know, hey, I don't want to go over there and fight some stupid war for Israel, you know, and die and lose the opportunity to have a life and, you know, develop myself. I mean, this is the American spirit trying to come to the fore. I hope the American spirit, the spirit of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence,
be nice.
We'll manifest. But as you say, there's a lot going against us, you know. But getting these things out in the public mind is, I think, at least a first step to understanding what we're up against. We're not just up against Russia or China. Actually, our number one enemy is probably, as you know, Israel. Certainly now it's pretty obvious. But that's not only Israel proper, it's Israel embedded. It's the diaspora Jews in America who are always supporting Israel first and MIGA first, make Israel great again.
Absolutely, number one. Dual citizenship, forget it. When you hear dual citizen, people reflexively think, well, 50% here, 50% there. No. For most Jews, dual citizens, it's probably 90-10. All right? 90% Israeli Zionist Jewish identity, 10% European American identity. That's about it. That's my best guess.
I would guess, and not only that, we need to emphasize that this is a death cult. This is the synagogue of Satan that Jesus identified accurately.
Yes.
This is a death, murder, world conquest cult going for their greater Israel project, and doesn't matter how many genocides of their neighbors they conduct, like Lebanon and Gaza and West Bank
and
Jordan
right
and Syria and, of course, Iran.
Yeah. Eric, what's going on right now in Lebanon is so outrageous. It's not as bad as Gaza, but it's an invasion and a terrible massacring of its people, a destruction of its infrastructure, its buildings, its way of life. No one dares stand up. No one dares confront Israel about this. They won't. They won't do anything. They are afraid because they know they'll be nuked. That's the Trump card. And I mean that not as a pun. I mean it seriously. Trump is a servant, as we know. And he knows that the Israelis will nuke anybody who tries to seriously interfere with Gaza or Lebanon or the Iran war. Look what the Israelis, the Jews, did to this country. With their flunky, their stooge, Trump. They spent, I'm using the term in a military sense, most all of our inventory of precision bombs, missiles, it's virtually all gone. So what's happening now? The Pentagram and Pete Hegseth, or Pete Hegemon, as I call him, are trying to now rewrite the doctrine of first use of nuclear weapons to allow for the use of tactical nuclear weapons in any regional war. Because they've got no traditional armaments left to speak of. And now Trump is even saying, jail for anybody who tells the truth about our weapons inventory, our stockpile, jail if you open your mouth and you tell the truth about the lack of weapons munitions that we have. It's crazy. He says leakers, in other words, truth tellers, will go to jail over reports that they may give about U.S. munitions shortages. It's just crazy. It's all crazy. We're not going to win this one. We are not. The American people will not rise up and smite, or is it smote? That's past tense. And smite the evil ones. They won't do it. They're afraid. The American people don't have it anymore. maybe this will be a reverse psychology challenge to some of them. It's not looking good out there.
Yeah, well, of course, you're right up on top of things, like very, 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 very few people with your role, you know, as what you're doing. I also listen to, you know, other many voices, and I listen to some, you know, even though the special forces are actively involved, either retired or active duty, in the gang stalking operations, because
sure.
as Michael Yon, the Green Beret, former Green Beret, says, the purpose of the Green Berets has always been to go into a different country and raise an army, a domestic army, that will challenge and fight the power structure in that country. I think that they have done that in this country, and that this includes the gang stalkers. So I'm not a big fan at all of the Special Operations Forces. As a targeted individual myself, I see these guys all the time, and I don't like them. But I do listen to Michael Yon and others, you know, Matt Bracken, who are ex-Special Forces guys, for their wisdom. And Michael Yon says, America is being destroyed because Americans won't stand up to the Zionists. Exactly what you just said.
No. Very sad. Very
bunch
sad
of
indeed.
Pussies, wouldn't you say?
What
happened to the American spirit?
Yeah,
you know, I guess 250 years made us spoiled, and we 5%
of... Yeah, that's exactly right.
We had it too good.
We got fat and happy, and then the evil took over. That's when you take over people, when they think everything is fine, and they've got it made, and life is great, and blah, blah. No. We lost it. It's gone. You're correct.
I have to bring up another book since, you know, our topic is mind control. A book that I've just been reading, very interesting, by a targeted individual in England named Eliza M. Parr. She's written three books about this gang stalking phenomena, which Wikipedia, by the way, denies that it exists. Gang stalking, psychic possession, servants of the master builders of illusion, which is very interesting because she actually believes that these gang stalkers that are terrorizing the targeted individuals and who knows what else they're doing, many of them are actually demon spirits, you know. And some of those demon spirits could have been created, like Paul Bonacci was created in mm-hmm. military bases, or some of them could, who knows, maybe the pit, Satan's pit, has been opened, and we've got demons amongst us that we don't recognize. I mean, this becomes an alternative possibility for me as a TI. I mean, I see these people all the time, and or if they're people at all. Another one of her books is Implanted and Tortured in the UK, One Woman's True Story. And then the next one gets in a little wilder, Shapeshifting and Psychic Possession, Gang-Stalking Secrets of the Master Builders of Illusion. And the master, and she says there's not that many people. She says they're Masons, and they are protecting the corporations and the super rich. That would be the black nobility again, and certainly the British monarchy. And that this whole system is to maintain their strategic advantage over all other humans. That's a very interesting viewpoint. And it is a very confusing process because it does seem to have a very satanic element to it. These gang stalkers do seem to be satanically energized. They're very, very cruel. They love inflicting pain on people. And she's saying it's to keep society from evolving or becoming something else other than the power structure that we have. And very interesting viewpoint. I'm sure some of your readers might identify with some of this stuff. It gets really kind of wild when you're talking about, shapeshifters and things like that. But could be. They live, you know.
Yeah. So with the tsunami of absolutely out of control, I don't care what these people say, these Sammy Altmans and the others, they're not in control of AI. There are agents loose all over the world now on the Internet, agents. And not just one or two that got out of their sandbox and caused some trouble with what was it, Huggy Face, or I can't remember what it was, but the people on the inside are admitting now that there are agents loose all over the place.
Boy, that's for sure. You can call them agents, you can call them spies, gang stalkers, whatever. They are all over the place. And this has been something that I've wanted to address more directly. Like, who are these people? Who are these gang stalkers? This army of evil people who just relish hurting other people.
Hold that thought. What I was talking about, you're right, and I didn't go that far. I was going to go, but I didn't. What I was talking about were AI agents that have gotten loose. They're loose.
Yeah.
They're all over the place now. This comes from inside. It's not just one or two who got out of their sandboxes. This is a big deal. And they're RSI, recurring self-improvement. They're correcting themselves. They're learning. They're outsmart. They are running away from us at the speed of light. We'll never recall them. We are now the second most intelligent life form on the planet. That's my take. Anyhow, you're right, though. There are agents all over the place. They get paid. I'll bet some of them don't even get paid. They just like to cause grief. There's that ethic that is now also infecting the American public. Look at the news. What sells? Death, destruction, accidents, plane crashes, car crashes, it doesn't matter. War. People, they just don't like happy anymore. And when was the last time that Hollywood actually made a comedy, a real funny comedy? When was the last time we really saw an amusing George Carlin stand up and make fun of the horrors going on brilliantly with great wit, humor? These young comedians now are mostly just dreadful. There's nothing funny about them. Not in my view. I've seen a few, and that was enough.
Anyhow. Yeah, I think you can say the same thing about the music and the movies and the culture in general.
Music?
You know,
it's not music.
Yeah, it's a weapon. Yeah. It's what Michael Young calls it, acoustic neural... He's got an acronym for it. That basically, it's a weapon. It's to damage the brain rather than
programs
uplift it, you know.
The mind. It damages it because it takes it down to a lower level. And here we have white European Americans emulating, copying inner city black Ebonics, ghetto talk, ghetto speak, ghetto dress. What is this? But you're supposed to have a role model you look up to, not down to. And that's what's happening. These young white people.
I have to interject here on kind of a lighter note. I started college at a fairly liberal arts college called Prescott College in 1967. And I was, you know, kind of the country boy from Flagstaff, Arizona. You know, I think I'd had a couple beers, maybe one or two before then. Certainly no exposure to drugs. And then all of a sudden I'm thrown in with these kids from the East Coast and the West Coast, you know, who are a little more sophisticated with the experience of drugs, etc. But and I really was a very avid guitar player, and a lot of people were then. And the heroes then became black blues singers, and you know, that's what I found myself learning was, you know, Mississippi John Hurt and all
that's
these
a different
blacks,
thing. That's not what I'm talking about.
But I felt like there was a cultural disconnect. It's like I'm going off to college to learn to sing like Mississippi John Hurt, who can hardly speak the English language. I mean, you know, what about you know, learning the English language?
Those were strange times. But inner city culture now, so-called rap music.
Yeah.
What? It's not music. And the lyrics are evil, ugly, often violent, and anti-woman, certainly often anti-white. This is not good.
Yeah, it's just gone down and down and down since the late 60s. I remember in my life, you know, starting out, you know, as a younger guy, maybe 10 or 12, you know, there was... you know, all Frank Sinatra and Perry Como and all these crooners, you know, from Italy, who had pretty voices, you know, and the songs were pretty, and they had a, you know, love stuff, and then of course with the Beatles, the British invasion, which actually turns out there was a lot of MK mind control involved in that.
Oh yeah,
you know, Rolling Stones, Beatles, etc. And then by the end of the '60s, the music was horrid and openly satanic. So this has been, you know, a long slide, a long cultural slide from beauty to, I would say, intentional satanic ugliness. And yet that becomes the conquering mindset of the culture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where's the love for beauty? Where's the standards, you know, who's reading Shakespeare? Who's reading Milton? By the way, I threw a few quotes here. I guess I have time to read King Lear, Shakespeare, 1608. As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods. They kill us for their sport. Well, now these so-called gods, demons, have this mind control technology, very invasive from a distance. They're sitting at their computer screens, and they are destroying people's lives electronically with these very, very high-tech weapons. And John Milton, Paradise Lost, 1674, the mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. Well, that's the idea that the importance of the mind, but of course, that was 1600s. That was way before they had these weapons. Now other people can put individual minds in hell. And this is what has happened, you know, to the targeted individuals and all kinds of tortures that are being tested on them and being denied by our president, denied by our congressman, denied by our power structure. And this, I would say, is a silent Holocaust. So
it's true. All right. We are over time. Thank you for the contributions, as always, terrific. And for people who want to figure it out, you're giving them a lot of material to work with. So we are indebted to you for that. Thank you, Eric. And we'll
thanks so much, Jerry. Yeah, have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you, you too. Okay, we'll take a break. Come right back. Don't go away.